Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. People are voting for president today in several states. It's early voting designed to increase participation, and from the look of things, it was working. The crowds were surprisingly large in Florida and elsewhere. John McCain campaigned in St. Charles, Missouri, trying to stop the state from leaning toward Barack Obama.
We have 15 days to go. We're a few points down. The national media has written us off, as they have several times in the past.
Obama stopped in Tampa, where he warned supporters McCain is trying to scare them.
Ugly phone calls, misleading mail, misleading TV ads.
Obama spoke as early voting got underway in Florida. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington. A new CBS News New York Times poll on the presidential race finds the presidential debates helped Obama more than McCain.
These voters, those likely voters, prior to the debates, gave Obama a 5-point lead, 48% to 43%. Afterwards, these same people gave the Obama-Biden ticket a 13-point lead, 54% to 41%.
CBS News Director of Surveys, Kathleen Frankovic. For Senator Ted Stevens, the question is whether the jury has a reasonable doubt about whether he was up to no good in not reporting renovations to his cabin and the gifts he got.
The defense has now rested its case following 3 days of testimony from Senator Ted Stevens. Before the jury went home, Stevens got in the last word, saying that he never accepted free renovations to his Alaska home. Stevens declared that his wife, Catherine, paid the bills they received, and, quote, that's all there is to it. A full day of closing arguments is scheduled for Tuesday.
CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis. The jury is expected to get the case on Wednesday. Wall Street today, the Dow gained 413 points. NASDAQ was up about 59. CBS's Alexis Christophorus.
We're seeing a really nice rally, and part of this is that there's been so much money sitting on the sidelines with people just waiting for the right moment to jump into the market, and no one wants to miss the party when we're on our way back up. So we're seeing some of that money pouring back in, a lot of mutual fund money coming back into the market as well.
Also, some earnings reports at big companies came in better than expected. Home sales in Southern California up 65% in September from the previous September. If Congress does, as Fed Chairman Bernanke suggested today, and comes up with a second focused economic stimulus program, says NYU Professor Lawrence White.
Increase expenditures for supporting unemployed individuals, improve training programs, extend unemployment benefits. That can get some cash into household hands fairly quickly.
And bank-to-bank interest rates loosening up a little bit, which is an indication the money's starting to circulate once again. This is CBS News.
Have you always wanted to travel like James Bond? Well, without dodging bullets, being attacked, or having to assume another identity? Then visit Orbitz.com for your chance to win one of seven great Bond adventures, like a VIP experience at the Wynn Las Vegas or a luxury vacation in London. Hurry to Orbitz.com today for your chance to travel like Bond.
Pricing brought to you by Greylight. Quantum of Solace in theaters this November. Promotion ends 11-18-08. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited. Open only to legal residents of 48 contiguous U.S. states. Must be 21 at time of entry. See Orbitz.com/Bond for rules.
What's a four-letter word for retirement? S-A-V-E. But how much will you need? FINRA's retirement calculator can help. FINRA is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the not-for-profit that regulates brokers and protects investors. Their easy-to-use calculator will show how much you'll need to fully enjoy the retirement you deserve. Learn more at FINRA.org/calculator. That's F-I-N-R-A SaveTheDate.org.
After accidents and grievous injury, minorities die more often, which is pointing some fingers at the healthcare system itself.
An Archives of Surgery study finds racial differences in death rates after traumatic injuries.
Same age, same sex, and similar injuries. Make that patient black, the chance of death increases by about 20%.
For Hispanics, it's an even greater increase, says Johns Hopkins researcher Adil Haider. Being uninsured further reduces survival chances. Haider says more study is needed to determine if there's some sort of embedded bias in the healthcare system. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Hundreds of people jumped off a bridge over the weekend. It's all about adrenaline, like eating it with a spoon. Once a year, base jumpers are allowed access to the bridge over the New River Gorge in West Virginia. It's about 800 feet up. And one after another, more than 400 people this year leaped from it, borne safely back to Earth by a parachute. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-1443. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes, and we could save you thousands. Live better. Debt free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information. For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call 1-800-400-1443. That's 1-800-400-1443. Call now, 1-800-400-1443.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Peter B. back behind the microphone here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Had a great weekend gathering with my brothers in Cincinnati, Ohio, to honor our dear mother on her 85th birthday. She submitted graciously. It seemed to have a pretty good time. And for one weekend, her boys were back in town.
Guess who just got back today? The wild-eyed boy that had been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around. How you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown. Driving all the old men crazy.
Your humble host is back in the saddle, playing a little catch-up. There were 749 emails. Many of them offering to enhance my body parts. We got a great lineup today, lots to talk about. Professor Robert Auerbach from the University of Texas at Austin will join us in a moment. We like to invite people on the show who know more than I do. And recently, I've been flummoxed by questions from listeners about the Federal Reserve. Well, he's written a book about the Fed, and we'll get his comments here in just a moment. Later this hour, Gene Karpinski, the president of the League of Conservation Voters, is going to check in and share their scorecard. They name the Dirty Dozen every year, members of Congress and the Senate, and also they've endorsed candidates who they think are good on the environment. And I'm also going to get Gene Karpinski's thoughts about candidate Obama and whether Karpinski cringes the way I do when Obama talks about supporting clean coal and nuclear power. Also on today's show, Cliff Schechter. We've expanded into an hour because there's so much to talk about on the McCain front. Cliff's the author of The Real McCain. We'll talk about that powerful endorsement from Colin Powell and about the big spread in today's New York Times about the health of the candidates. Most of the coverage was on McCain and the questions that remain. Also, Sarah Palin starred on Saturday Night Live, and maybe she's got a future there when Tina Fey says no more to Lorne Michaels. Also on our program, we're going to open up the phones in the free speech zone. And I'm going to play Colin Powell's comments from Meet the Press yesterday alongside a clip from his speech to the United Nations, February 5th, 2003, and ask if you are ready to forgive General Powell for the misleading comments that he made at that time. And we'll also check in on the Ted Stevens trial. He said that that grill on his desk, I'm sorry, on his deck, that big Viking grill, isn't his. It doesn't belong to him, so therefore it wasn't a gift. It's just on a long-term loan from Bill Allen of Vico. That's on our agenda today. You can join the conversation at any moment. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. The email's backed up, but it's on and working. peter@peterbcollins.com. Robert Auerbach is professor of public affairs at UT Austin in the LBJ School of Public Affairs, and he's the author of a recent book that I haven't read called Deception and Abuse at the Fed, Henry B. Gonzalez Battles Alan Greenspan's Bank. He's got more degrees than I do. Professor Auerbach, welcome to our program today.
Well, thank you, and congratulations to your mother.
Oh, thanks. she really enjoyed having all the boys home this weekend. And
terrific.
We were there to celebrate her. Just a little bit of background. You studied over at the University of Chicago under Milton Friedman. Did you?
A San Francisco resident.
You are, or he was?
He was.
Yes, he was. And did you know my friend Tom Campbell, the former congressman?
Oh, indeed I did.
Uh-huh.
And also, you know, I was 11 years, for 11 years I was the economist for the House Banking Committee.
That's right.
It's a committee on financial, and mm-hmm. he was on the committee for a bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he's a good guy, and I don't normally support Republicans, but I think he's a brilliant guy, and he is now a candidate for governor of California in the 2010 election.
Well, he was one of the people that voted against Newt Gingrich, so he didn't get he got kind of a beating for that.
Yeah, I think they named him to the post office committee after that.
Yeah, something like
something.
That.
Yeah. Now, as I noted, I haven't read your book, but putting Henry B. Gonzalez in the title warms my heart because I remember the work that he did in the special orders, the after-hours C-SPAN only sessions during the savings and loan screw-up of the 1980s.
Right.
And Henry Gonzalez was there speaking the truth about Charlie Keating, the Keating Five, including some guy who's running for president this year.
Right. He opened that whole thing up.
Yes, he did.
From a hearing out in California where he called up Bill Black, who was the chief investigator, and ordered him to tell what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Bill was happy to do it, but he was under orders not to do it.
Yeah.
And that began the Keating investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Gonzalez got the Profiles in Courage Award for doing the Keating Five.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just a guy who would not relent, and he fought for us, and I really appreciate that. Professor, as I alluded in my introduction, recently the Fed has come into more public view. And a number of my listeners have raised questions about who owns the Federal Reserve, who runs it. And so could you give us a quick one- or two-minute tutorial here on the history of the Fed, this public-private entity that it is, and is it controlled by a bunch of plutocrats who are dangerous, you know, and people we should be afraid of?
First of all, it's no matter what people tell you, the Federal Reserve is part of the central government of the United States. All the courts have held that. And it's not owned by anybody except they have this silly custom, including at the San Francisco Bank, where banks that join the Federal Reserve, which means they give in about 3% of their profits each year, they're given stock. But and that makes everybody think, oh, they own the bank. The stock allows them to vote for the board of directors of the bank, six of the nine board of directors at all their banks, as in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's all it does. And but that is a very big thing that worries me.
Yeah.
Because the banks are voting in the board of directors of the Federal Reserve banks. And these Federal Reserve banks are supposed to be regulating the banks. So there's a tremendous conflict of interest between the board of directors who were voted in by the six of the nine of them,
mm-hmm.
at each bank and at the New York Bank, New York Federal Reserve Bank, are voted in by the banks in the district. And Henry Gonzalez was worried about this. And in the 90s, we spent, a lot of people don't know that Henry spent most of the 90s investigating the Federal Reserve. And I was one of his investigators. I'm an economist, but I loved working for him. In fact, I left the University of California, gave up my tenure, and went to help him in 1992. And because I thought it was something we had to do. And I found that the Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, that was examining these trillion-dollar banks there, was doing a very poor job. The examiners were going into these banks, accepting gifts from them. The committee got that information. And allowed under Greenspan to apply for a job at the same time they're examining the banks.
Wow.
And Greenspan wrote to us and said, well, a lot of people join the Fed just because they know they can get a job at a bank. That was a terrible, terrible thing. And Henry Gonzalez told me to put the heat on the Fed, which meant we back and forth with them. And at the time, Gerald Corrigan was the president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, and Henry told him, we want a survey of all the people there and what gifts they're taking. And he got a letter back from Corrigan that said, well, among other things, they take just a literal handful of sporting tickets when they're dealing with the banks they have to regulate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what that has to do today in a minute, but one footnote. After 25 years at the Fed, Corrigan left abruptly after that, in the middle of his term, the New York Fed. The whole story's in my book, Deception and Abuse. But the problem is the level of examination of these banks is not good because the Federal Reserve is, the directors are controlled by the banks.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't quite the voluntary regulation that the SEC permitted on Wall Street over the last 6 or 7 years, but it's a kind of insider, clubbish crony group.
Exactly.
And you basically have to come out of the big banks to qualify to be on the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve. And likewise, once you come from that background, your interests are, well, there's a confluence of interest at minimum, right?
Right, exactly. And it continues. In 1999, they passed a law which allowed the banks in New York to buy all the financial institutions, as long as it's approved by the Fed. And that just completely ruined regulations.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a very bad thing. So now these super trillion-dollar banks we've put together, there's no good way to examine them. Because we don't have, what we need is an independent examination process, independent agency that's not run by the banks to examine the banks. And it's the only way we can stop this tremendous amount of fraud which has brought us into this mess we're in now.
Mm-hmm. I need to take a break and we'll pick up there as we continue with Professor Robert Auerbach. He's at the University of Texas. He's the author of Deception and Abuse at the Fed. Henry B. Gonzalez battles Alan Greenspan's bank. If you have a question or comment, join us here toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We will continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Book 'em, Dano.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
As a boy, I worked the fields to help make ends meet, so I know firsthand how a slow economy hurts families who can't pay the bills.
Senator Abel Maldonado,
That's why I'm working to bring jobs to California and keep costs down on working people. It's why I'm fighting to reduce reliance on foreign oil by working to expand usage of solar power and renewable energy. And why I fought special interest to provide increased access to prescription drugs.
Senator Maldonado earned a 95% rating from the California Chamber of Commerce for his efforts to improve the economy. Americans for Tax Reform honored Abel as a hero of the taxpayer.
Government has failed taxpayers time and time again. That's why I authored legislation requiring independent audits of government agencies. And that's why I returned tens of thousands in pay and living expenses to taxpayers.
Senator Abel Maldonado, independent leadership for us.
Paid for by Maldonado for Senate, 2008.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm David Burnett, and I'm running for the Marina City Council. For too long, our council has failed to listen and act on the concerns, ideas, and needs of our citizens, while at the same time very carefully listening to and serving the demands of out-of-town developers. Even when citizens just like you ask the council to take more time to discuss the pros and cons on issues, such as the recent $106 million giveaway to the Dunes developers, the council failed to do so and instead rushed the deal through. I'm concerned that our budget is not balanced, that our citizens are locked out of affordable housing, that the current council has not grown our local economy by creating local well-paying jobs and supporting our downtown businesses. I support responsible growth that sustains our community and our local values. As your council member, I will make sure your ideas and concerns are welcomed, listened to, and respected. I would be honored to have your vote for David Burnett on November 4th. I'm David Burnett, and I approve this message.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell, putting the service back in service stations.
Lower Manhattan is a town without pity, and it's not that pretty. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest, Professor Robert Auerbach from the University of Texas in Austin. And, Professor, I wonder if you can shed some light on this. About a week ago, Ben Bernanke and Henry Paulson called in a bunch of bankers. And they said, here's a one-page document, and we're going to give you $25 billion if you sign it. And if not, well, you can't leave without signing this.
Yeah, and I thought mistake, right.
Well, so two banks that I know about that I'd like to focus on, Bank of America and Wells Fargo, both participated in this. Now, right. They were presumed to be healthy, but each of them absorbed some unhealthy entities, Wachovia in the case of Wells Fargo and Countrywide in the case of Bank of America. So was this a preemptive effort
by the Fed to offset presumed losses that they will incur from these companies they've swallowed up? Or was this in truth an effort to really restart the lending system to lubricate the credit process? And if so, will it work?
For those two banks, I think they're in fairly good shape. And what I didn't like is the coercion that everybody's got to take out these loans so we won't be able to find out which banks are doing poorly. That information will leak out anyway. The banks that are in good shape will probably be able to pay it off sooner. I don't think they should coerce banks into taking that money. Some of them probably didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And it also involves another question that's very touchy at this time. But Henry Gonzalez, I was with him when he passed a bill that says no bank in the United States can have more than 10% of the domestic deposits in the country, because mm-hmm. he didn't want the big banks to crush all the small banks.
Right.
It's called the Regal Neal Cap, but he named it after two people leaving the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Bank America is probably exceeding that cap.
Yeah.
I know all the regulators are looking the other way, but what we're creating, unfortunately, is probably huge trillion-dollar banks, which will dominate the landscape. Mm-hmm. We've had tremendous concentration in banking. There's a lot of little banks that have very little money. You know, there's nothing wrong with them, but they
right.
don't have. And I think it's the wrong way to go in this country. Canada only has a few banks. England only has a few banks. But in the United States, we've always had a lot of competition,
mm-hmm.
and I hate to see it all concentrate in these giant banks.
And, Professor, in reporting on that $25 billion infusion, the New York Times suggested that these healthy banks will probably use it as a cushion and not actually lend it out to businesses and consumers. So has the Fed actually achieved what they say is addressing the problem?
I think they will use it for whatever will maximize their profits.
Yeah.
And one of the things in 2003 I testified before the banking committee. They wanted to do something that they're going to do to those banks now, pay interest on their reserves. Well, I can tell you Milton Friedman he wanted to do that too. I was opposed to it unless the banks would start paying their customers market interest rates on their deposits.
Mm-hmm.
These banks pay like a quarter of 1%, so that there really isn't competition among these big banks to pass through the profits they're making, because they're concentrated. You have monopolistic competition,
mm-hmm.
and it's just getting worse.
Yeah.
And everybody's looking the other way. They say, well, we've got to do it now, because if we don't have these super trillion-dollar banks get together, things will go bad. Well, they have to be very careful. And they are probably now violating the Regal Neal cap, violating mm-hmm. the law.
All right, let's join Andy in New York. Welcome to the program with Professor Auerbach. Andy?
Hi, Peter. Hi, Professor Auerbach.
Hi.
Yeah, I would agree with you. B of A has had to have gone beyond the 10% limit. I used to follow them as an analyst, and I'm sure they're over. They were right on the edge prior
right.
to
I think
what's
Mr.
going
Lewis
on the last
it.
Year. But the point I wanted to bring up, if you look at the New York Times over the weekend in the business section, there was an article about Goldman Sachs, all the Goldman Sachs folks in the Fed, and it brings up a guy named Stephen Friedman, who's a Class C board member of the New York Fed, and you were bringing up the conflicts of interest, and he's supposed to be a public appointee. I believe there's six of the people are appointed by the banks, and there's three that are supposed to be public, and he's a Class C director, yet he was a chairman of Goldman Sachs, supposedly representing the public. So the conflicts of interest are just ridiculous, and the system
right.
doesn't work.
And Jamie Dimon, I have nothing against him, but he's on the New York Federal Reserve Board of Directors. At the same time, they're buying Bear Stearns. I hope he recused himself.
And Professor,
be a regulator.
Just a quick one. We only have about 40 seconds remaining. But what about this guy Neil Kashkari, a former Goldman employee who's been put in charge of spending the bailout money? Is he reliable? Is he independent?
I don't know much about him.
Okay.
He's new to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, there's so many Goldman Sachs people, it's just ridiculous.
It sure seems that way. Thank you very much, Andy. Professor, thanks for joining us today. It's a pleasure to talk with
you. Thank you. Good luck.
Can I call you again?
Sure can.
All right, will do. That is Professor Robert Auerbach at the University of Texas, Austin. His new book is Deception and Abuse at the Fed, subtitled Henry B. Gonzalez Battles Alan Greenspan's Bank. Coming up next, the League of Conservation Voters. We'll talk about their scorecard, some of their political endorsements this season, here on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the makers of naturally derived Amil BP, clinically shown to help maintain healthy blood pressure. I'm Charles Osgood. Mr. Blackwell, the dress designer better known for his annual worst dressed list than for anything he designed, died yesterday in Los Angeles at the age of 86. Mr. Blackwell was a little acerbic at times, and often he did so in couplets and rhymes.
Camila's fashion image is way off track. She looked in the mirror and watched it crack.
That was in 1995 when he named Camilla Parker Bowles, future wife of Prince Charles, the worst dressed.
The diva of disclosure needs an immediate fashion foreclosure.
More after this. Over 70 million Americans deal with pre-hypertension, but there's a wonderful new product called Amil BP that makes maintaining healthy blood pressure easy. Take it every day the way you take your vitamins. Amil BP uses a patented, naturally derived ingredient called Amil Peptide, clinically shown to help maintain a healthy blood pressure. Keep yours in a healthy range by eating right, exercising, and taking Amil BP. Available at CVS and Walgreens, or visit AmilBP.com to find other fine retailers near you.
These days, investors don't need hot tips. They need solid facts. You'll find them at FINRA.org. FINRA is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the independent, not-for-profit that regulates securities firms. They also write rules for brokers and enforce them. But more than that, FINRA protects investors with unbiased information and tools for making smarter decisions about saving and investing. You'll find it all at FINRA.org. That's FINRA.org.
Year after year, Mr. Blackwell famously put down famous women, even those he admired for the way they dressed. Some celebs wanted to be on his list.
Agents would submit photos, managers of their clients in their worst outfits, in hopes that their client would actually make the worst dress list.
Blackwell's own publicist, Harlan Bowl, he says that as a designer,
his designs actually were timeless. The designs he did in the 60s can still be worn today.
Richard Blackwell, in a sense, designed himself.
He put on a persona called Mr. Blackwell because he felt the public wanted that. They didn't want a nice guy picking the ladies apart. He felt they wanted an acidic, someone they wanted to dislike him.
And he did it with the help of some celebrities who are pretty forceful characters themselves.
He was actually named by Howard Hughes, and Joan Crawford taught him how to create a character.
Mr. Blackwell wasn't really about clothing at all, says Harlan Bowl.
He always said what every woman needed was a three-way mirror and a hairbrush.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, my name is Bill Monning, and I'm the Democratic Party nominee running for California's 27th Assembly District seat. As a professor, attorney, mediator, and community activist, I have worked to introduce a new culture of mediation and conflict resolution in our courts and our schools. A vote for Bill Monning is a vote for state budget reform, a strong education system, health care reform, and an effective emergency response network. To preserve our pristine environment and build our economy, we must encourage and support green technology, green building, alternative energy, and sustainable water resource management. Despite the gravity of the many challenges we face, I remain committed to the belief that working together we can make a difference. Please vote for Bill Monning for the 27th Assembly District seat. Contact our office at 655-1792 or visit the website at billmonning.org. Thank you. Paid for by friends of Bill Monning.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
33 minutes into the hour as we continue on a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show live from San Francisco. Our lines are open if you want to join the conversation toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. This half hour, we're going to take a look at some of the political candidates this year and how they are rated on environmental issues by the League of Conservation Voters. David Sandretti is Communications Director for LCV, and they're on the web at lcv.org. David, welcome to our program today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Peter.
How's it going?
It's going very well.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the home stretch here with this campaign, but the reason I am excited about talking to you tonight is that we have just released our 2008 National Environmental Scorecard, and you'll find that on our website, which you mentioned.
Yes, and I have
lcv.org.
Mm-hmm.
We go through the votes of this past year's congressional session, and we picked out 11 votes in the House and 13 votes in the Senate. And we took a look at these votes because they have such an impact on the environment. And one of the dominant factors, obviously, when you're talking about the environment is how we deal with our energy future.
Mm-hmm.
And predominantly, the number of votes that we counted were of the energy sector. You know, we really wanted to look at this Congress and where are we going? Are we going to be embracing a clean, renewable energy future, or are we going to continue along the path of this addiction to fossil fuel that we have? And so a number of the votes that we looked at dealt with that issue.
Well, but isn't the sweeping catchphrase of the season all of the above?
Yeah. Well, you know,
what do you think about that one?
When you look, you have to, a lot of people say all of the above, but, you know, we really took a look at the votes.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is there's a marked difference between who actually was supporting clean renewable energy tax credits, for instance, which became a bit of a political football this year.
Mm-hmm.
And were only included at the 11th hour in the rescue or bailout package that was passed at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's a hell of a way to get there, isn't it?
Yeah. Speaker Pelosi, to her credit, passed these tax credits a number of times, and they were paid for by closing the tax credits that were given to the big oil industry in the 2005 energy bill.
Mm-hmm.
They were paid for, and unfortunately in the Senate, because there is not a filibuster-proof pro-environment vote count that we have in the Senate, a minority of the senators were able to block that.
Mm-hmm.
They did not want to pay for these tax credits by closing that $13 billion windfall that the oil industry got as a result of the 2005 energy bill.
Yeah.
So, I think the fault line really lies between who supported those tax credits, who supported investing in clean, renewable energy, and who didn't. And for all of the rhetoric that you hear, from the folks who say drill, baby, drill, and at the same time say all of the above, well, you'll find out who actually supported all of the above in our scorecard at lcv.org.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a lot of great information compiled here. Now, David, before we talk about individual members of the House and Senate, let's talk about the contenders for president this year. And let me first start off with Barack Obama, because I think he's outlined a pretty strong positions on both the environment and responsible energy development. But I cringed during a couple of these debates when he talked about clean coal. He did it at least twice. And he kind of lamely said that he supports nuclear, but he didn't really define that, and it was kind of a defensive retort to a charge from John McCain. But first up on clean coal, there's nothing clean about coal. That's a marketing concept. It's a marketing phrase.
Well,
and recently on this program, we have featured a documentary filmmaker who produced a film called Burning the Future, And it shows the extraction process in West Virginia using mountaintop mining and the incredible assault on the local environment that that produces. And so, you know, when we hear this phrase clean coal, particularly coming from alleged Democrats and progressives, I find that very disconcerting.
Well, there's no question that, you know, for a lot of folks in the environmental movement and just, you know, folks who think about where we want to go in this country, you know, the phrase is that the only clean coal is coal that's still in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reality is, whether you're talking about the beginning of the extraction segment or the, you know, final end use of coal,
right.
You're going to find, you know, serious problems. You know, look, I'm, you know, Barack Obama is from Illinois. It's a coal-producing state. He has actually come a long way in terms of his definition of what clean coal is. He has said that at least at the end stage of using coal, that we're not going to create a fuel, we're not going to have a fuel that continues to pump carbon into the atmosphere, that we are going to figure out a way to do carbon capture and sequestration,
mm-hmm.
Or we're not going to continue to develop these plants. So, you know, look, it's a process that we have to go through. I think if you look at the overall, he is not talking about investing trillions of dollars in building additional nuclear power plants, as Senator McCain is calling for.
Yeah, he wants 45.
45 new plants, mm-hmm. and we don't have a way to deal with the waste at the end of that process either. So,
well, it's three issues for me. It's waste, it's cost overruns, and it's not benign. Even if you can deal, there's a pretty good safety record for nuclear power plants in this country. I won't dispute that. But virtually everyone is located near a major waterway, a lake, a river, or the ocean, because it requires huge amounts of water to cool these plants, and in turn, they warm that water, which contributes to climate change in a very direct way.
You're absolutely right, and you know, Senator McCain likes to talk about, you know, pointing to France and how they are, you know, get such a large percentage of their power from nuclear. Well, you know, talk to the folks who are seeing the you know, emissions into the English Channel and some of the problems that the French industry is facing with their nuclear industry. Now, the Germans, on the other hand, they have said that we're not building any new nuclear plants, that we're going to invest in clean and renewable energy sources like solar. And Germany, can you imagine Bavaria outproducing solar to a state like, let's say, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
or the great, you know, Sun Belt that we have in our country?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, this is really where the bottom line is for us. We want to see significant increases in investment in these technologies, and that's where you're going to find in our scorecard. And, you know, in spite of what you say about Senator Obama and coal, he is calling for these kinds of investments in this kind of a new energy future when it comes to his plan. He has by far introduced the most comprehensive plan to deal with our energy future and to deal with the problem of global warming of any presidential candidate ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think in that respect, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
And if you look at the voting record, you know, obviously, you know, Senator Obama missed a number of votes this year as, you know, as any presidential candidate would.
And as McCain has, yeah. Both of them come up with very, you know, you don't have much to work with because they weren't on duty much.
On a scale of 1 to 100, or 0 to 100, Obama got a 16, right? So mm-hmm. he missed all but two of the votes. But for those two votes, he was right. Look, I mean, it's an occupational hazard. When you're running for president, you got to be in places like Iowa and New Hampshire and the battleground states when the time comes. But, you know, the reality is, if you look at his overall record, his lifetime score going into last year was in the high 80s. And you know, John McCain, who has spent 26 years in Congress, his voting record over that entire lifetime is 24%.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that means out of, you know, 3 out of every 4 votes he has cast in the Congress, he has been wrong on the environment. He has been wrong on energy. He has been against investments in renewable energy in spite of his rhetoric during the campaign.
We're talking with David Sandretti. He's Communications Director for the League of Conservation Voters, and their scorecard is available free on the web at lcv.org. That's LCV for League Conservation Voters, lcv.org. And let's just give people some stark comparisons here. We've been talking a lot lately about Ted Stevens and the remodeling project he had up there in Alaska. That's not in your purview, but you give him a 9% rating. And he actually was present for all but one or two of the votes that you followed to create the scorecard this year.
That's correct. You know, and it's not too far off of his lifetime score of 19.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, you know, if Senator Stevens had his way, he'd be, we'd be drilling in absolutely everywhere possible. He'd be put up derricks on the National Mall for the way he votes. It is a it's striking, you know. Look, I mean, Alaska is a state that has an amazing amount of natural resources. They have come to depend on that. Well, George Bush called it an addiction to oil. Well, these guys are mainlining it up in Alaska. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, that colors his voting pattern, unfortunately. Bottom line again for us is we need to move away from the dirty fossil fuels of the past and invest in clean, renewable energy.
Yeah. And another scorecard for a senator I pulled up here is Pete Domenici, the senator for nuclear power from New Mexico. He's the guy who inserted the insurance, the federal insurance for construction of nuclear power plants in the energy bill in 07. He gets an 18% rating, and he voted the right way on wind insurance and public lands protection. Is that right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Senator Domenici has had a long career. We're happy to see that he will soon be enjoying his retirement,
mm-hmm.
And we hope Senator Stevens will join him as well. Although he is on the ballot this year, Stevens is on the ballot. Senator Domenici could be replaced this year by a real champion for clean, renewable energy, and that's Tom Udall.
Mm-hmm.
The congressman.
Well, and just one more reference to Stevens. It could be that the votes of 12 individuals will determine his future.
That is entirely likely.
It's going to the jury later this week, so that'll be an interesting outcome. Now, you also publish a list of the Dirty Dozen.
Yes.
Again, focusing on the U.S. Senate. Who would you like to single out for special notice for being, well, when it comes to being green, they're black?
Well, you know, a perennial all-star on the list is, without question, the ranking member on the Environment Public Works Committee, Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He has been the single greatest denier of global warming and human activity that is resulting in increased carbon and increased temperatures. So he's clearly, you know, almost in a league on his own in the Dirty Dozen. We also have Congressman Steve Pierce from New Mexico. He's running for the United States Senate against, as I mentioned, Tom Udall,
mm-hmm.
An environmental champion. We have Bob Schaefer in Colorado. He is a former congressman, but he, you know, after carrying Big Oil's water in Congress, he now is running for the Senate, and in the interim, he actually was an oil executive himself, and he actually got a very lucrative contract in Iraq for his company. So, he's running against Mark Udall, also an environmental champion in
mm-hmm.
Colorado.
Right.
We have I have this list almost embedded in my head, but
and both California senators get 100% from the League of Conservation Voters.
Yeah, and Senator Boxer, one of the other issues that we looked very closely with was her bill, the Climate Stabilization Act, the big global warming bill that was in the Senate. And unfortunately, Jim Inhofe and Mitch McConnell, who is also a Dirty Dozen member from Kentucky, the leader mm-hmm. of the Republican Party in the Senate, staged a number of parliamentary tricks to stop that. Now, the good news is on the climate bill, Senator Boxer did an outstanding job. She got, I believe, 48 votes to cut off, to move forward on the debate. Unfortunately, there was a filibuster going on. And six members of the Senate who were not present for that vote said that they would have voted to continue the debate. So that's 54 votes. The majority of the Senate wants to move forward on the climate bill. So that was a very positive development. Look, I mean, this Congress started out, 2007 started out as a very, you know, hopeful. We saw the first increase in fuel efficiency standards in a generation passed in 2007 for autos. You know, that was the first time that, you know, we thought we really had a chance to do something in this Congress. But unfortunately, as I said, the minority in the Senate blocked a number of things from moving forward.
The fleet mileage increase is a modest gain, and it was almost immediately offset by the EPA decision not to regulate tailpipe emissions in relation to global warming. And that's you can thank Dick Cheney for that.
Yes.
We need to take a break, David. We'll return. And, you know, it's rare that I have an opportunity these days to say something nice about Senator Lieberman of Connecticut, but he has a 100% voting record, according to the scorecard at the League of Conservation Voters. You can read it for yourself at lcv.org. We'll return with David Sandoretti in a moment. And name a congressperson from California. We'll give their score. Give us a call right now and name the one you're concerned about or interested in. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays. Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Creative, Big Screen, and Big Eat, and we'll return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lafferty's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's a pizza paradise located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. Or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's a pizza paradise.
582-9149.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. 7 minutes in front of the hour, we're talking with David Sandretti. He is the Communications Director at the League of Conservation Voters. And their scorecard for members of Congress is available for your review at lcv.org, lcv.org. And we're joined by Mike from Eureka, who wants to ask about the rating of a specific member. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey. I think you got Dave.
I got Dave. I'm sorry. I read my screen wrong. Go ahead, Dave.
Anyway, I'd like to ask about our guy, Mike Thompson. How he ranks.
All right. David, you want to take a crack at that? I've got it up in front of me in case you don't.
Sure. Mike Thompson continued his good work in the Congress on behalf of the environment and clean energy. In scorecard, he got a 92.
Yeah, he voted for the farm bill, and that earned your ire. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, there were some issues with subsidies that, you know, we feel that we're not where we want to see Congress move. But, you know, for the most part, you know, again, he continued his good work. His lifetime record over the course of his career is at 91%. So we're very pleased with Congressman Thompson.
All right, Dave, a question or follow-up?
A pleasant surprise. He's been wrong on too much for me.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But it is interesting, even some of the people, Dave, that you and I would disagree with because they're not progressive enough on national security or issues like the FISA law, come up pretty well on the environmental scorecard here of the League of Conservation Voters. And David, give us a quick explanation. For Speaker Pelosi here, you have in there, in place of the votes, the Speaker votes at her discretion. So what exactly happens there? She only votes when it's close?
Yeah, well, typically the Speaker does not cast a vote on most votes. Mm-hmm. It's only on the rarest occasions when they do, and that's been sort of the tradition. I'm not even sure when that tradition started.
Yeah.
But you know, as the leader of the chamber, the speaker does not typically vote.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dan Lundgren has a perfect score, a perfect zero. he's one of the guys we pay a lot of attention to because he's such a knuckle-dragging right-winger and always a supporter of the Bush administration. Retiring Congressman John Doolittle, he's retiring to spend more time with his defense team. He got an 8% rating from the League of Conservation Voters. And let's see who else shows up in the negatives. Radanovich of Southern California, Nunez, McCarthy, Gallagly, some people know about him. David Dreyer got a zero. Most of the Republicans vote that straight party line, and so few of them really break ranks, David, to join those of us who are trying to protect and preserve the environment.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we do have a number of Republicans that support the environment, that support these issues. Susan Collins, the senator from Maine, for instance, got 100% mm-hmm. correct on our score. We don't look at party when it comes to these things, even though we... you know, we have a perspective, and sometimes the party platforms will look one way or the other favorably toward our position. But you know, for by and large, you know, when it comes to these votes, we take party out of it, and you know, some Republicans do very well, and unfortunately, some Democrats do quite poorly.
Yeah, and you want to single out a couple of Democrats? We try to be objective here, or at least not pull punches or protect people.
Well, if you look at some of the members who did, some of the Democratic members who did not score as well, not surprisingly, a number of them are in the oil patch.
Like Mary Landrieu.
For instance. you know, we were talking earlier about the Dirty Dozen, and Senator Landrieu for you know, sticking up for the oil industry at every possible turn.
Indeed.
Earned her way into the infamous Dirty Dozen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a few of the members from Congress from Texas have traditionally scored poorly. Congressman
congressman from Oklahoma, the Democrat, Boren, scores typically poorly in our scorecard.
All right, here's Mildred in Coos Bay has a question. Go ahead, Mildred, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm sticking up for Oregon, and I'm curious about what Gordon Smith's voting record is like on the environment. I think it's bad.
Well, Gordon Smith had a bit of an election year conversion. His score over the last 2 years rose significantly.
Yeah, he's got a 91 for 2008.
Yeah, he was with us on Senator Boxer, the Lieberman-Warner global warming bill. He was supportive of the energy tax credits. But if you look, that's why in addition to doing the yearly score and breaking it down by how they did in this particular Congress, the 110th Congress every 2 years, we also add the lifetime score.
Yeah. Mildred, it does appear that Oregon voters aren't fooled by that because Jeff Merkley appears to be up by about 6 points right now. Thanks for your call today.
And David, to add on, Gordon Smith's lifetime score is a paltry 37.
David Sandretti, LCV.org. Check out the scorecard. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
Mike.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A credit thaw eases fears on Wall Street.
Well, I think the most important thing today is that the market went up.
The Fed chairman endorses more stimulus.
Consideration of a fiscal package by the Congress at this juncture seems appropriate.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. We have seen the worst on Wall Street. That declaration from Wachovia Securities analyst Al Goldman as the Dow rose 413 points today. He credits a decline in the LIBOR rate, which determines what banks charge each other for loans.
The LIBOR did come down nicely, and there's a feeling that the credit market is becoming defrosted.
And there's more, says CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
Part of this is that there's been so much money sitting on the sidelines with people just waiting for the right moment to jump into the market, and no one wants to miss the party when we're on our way back up. So we're seeing some of that money pouring back in, a lot of mutual fund money coming back into the market as well.
So the Dow climbed back above 9,000 with a gain of nearly 5%. But even if credit starts flowing like before, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke told Congress today that we won't be out of the woods for a while.
The stabilization of the financial system, though an essential first step, will not quickly eliminate the challenges still faced by the broader economy.
He predicts several quarters of weakness and said a second stimulus package seems appropriate. Democrats in Congress are talking about a special session after the election to pass one, and the White House says it's open to ideas. President Bush, after meeting privately with the Central Louisiana Chamber of Commerce, said we've got a long way to go, but he thinks the public mood has lifted.
People's attitudes are beginning to change from a period of, intense concerns and I would call it near panic, to being more relaxed.
At the Treasury Department, Secretary Paulson defended the plan to buy up to $250 billion in bank stock.
This is an investment, not an expenditure, and there is no reason to believe that this program will cost taxpayers anything.
Now this.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs, and there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.35 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-2-GM-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
It's a race to the finish in the presidential campaign. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has today's developments.
In Florida, Barack Obama said he expects the last 2 weeks to be tough.
In the final days of campaigns, the say anything, do anything politics too often takes over. We've seen it before. And we're seeing it again.
John McCain in Missouri told supporters to forget about the polls.
Don't give up hope. Be strong. Have courage and fight. Fight for a new direction for our country.
McCain says he's going to come from behind to win. Obama says he expects the polls to tighten as Election Day nears. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The debates seem to have helped the Obama-Biden ticket. The CBS News New York Times poll interviewed nearly 500 registered voters last month before the first debate. Our director of surveys, Kathleen Frankovic, says they were interviewed again last week.
These voters, those likely voters, prior to the debates, gave Obama a 5-point lead, 48% to 43%. Afterwards, these same people gave the Obama-Biden ticket a 13-point lead, 54% to 41%.
50% say they have a favorable opinion of Joe Biden versus 30% for Sarah Palin. Alaska Senator Ted Stevens was back on the stand today at his corruption trial. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis covered.
Senator Stevens spent the morning sparring once again with the top prosecutor, Brenda Morris. At one point, Stevens and the prosecutor argued over the definition of gifts and whether a massage chair from a friend was a loan or a gift that should have been reported publicly. Morris asked, if the chair is not a gift, then why is it in Stevens's house 6 years later? Stevens replied, quote, "We have a lot of things in our house that don't belong to us."
Closing arguments are planned for tomorrow, with jury deliberations to begin as early as Wednesday. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Have you always wanted to travel like James Bond? Well, without dodging bullets, being attacked, or having to assume another identity? Then visit Orbitz.com for your chance to win one of seven great Bond adventures, like a VIP experience at the Wynn Las Vegas or a luxury vacation in London. Hurry to Orbitz.com today for your chance to travel like Bond.
Pricing brought to you by Greylight. Quantum of Solace in theaters this November. Promotion ends 11-18-08. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited. Open only to legal residents of 48 contiguous U.S. states. Must be 21 at time of entry. See Orbitz.com/Bond for rules.
What's a four-letter word for retirement? S-A-V-E. But how much will you need? FINRA's Retirement Calculator can help. FINRA is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the not-for-profit that regulates brokers and protects investors. Their easy-to-use calculator will show how much you'll need to fully enjoy the retirement you deserve. Learn more at finra.org/calculator. That's FINRA.org.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And like all good antidotes, we suggest you apply it liberally. Topically, internally, frequently. Welcome to a fresh hour of the Peter B. Collins Show.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you I am the beast. I guess I was alive and a busy bear. It's my life, baby, but I don't care. Is that tough enough?
Our quote of the day was delivered under oath by Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska on trial for failing to disclose gifts that he received. One of the prosecutors asked him about that $2,700 massage chair, you know, the kind of thing that Well, I guess Sharper Image is bankrupt now, but that's where I think it came from. And it's in his home in Washington, D.C. Never been listed on his financial statement. And he said, well, a friend bought that chair as a gift, but I refused it as a gift. He put it there in the house and said it was my chair. I told him I would not accept it as a gift. We have lots of things in our house that don't belong to us. Now, that is a stunning statement from a sitting United States senator who's been there for 75 years. Cliff Schechter joins me now. He is the author of The Real McCain, our resident specialist on the McCain campaign. And, Cliff, do you have any furniture at your house that doesn't actually belong to you?
Yeah, I take all sorts of furniture as gifts, but then, I'm like, especially, you know, the other day I got caught with a pack of cigarettes by my parents, but I was just holding it for a friend. So that's important to know.
And what about a lid of weed from Indiana, you know?
Exactly. I mean, doesn't that sound like that? Like the kid gets caught.
I was on my way, officer, to the police station to turn in this contraband.
I mean, that's got to be an old Brady Bunch episode, I think.
Yeah.
These guys, I mean, the problem is, that really upsets me, Peter, is that for those of us who like to add a little humor to our writing, and sometimes do a little bit of satire based on politics, like, we can't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because these guys are living it. What can I come up with that would be more ridiculous than what you just read, honestly?
Yeah.
I can't think of much.
No, it is out there. There's no doubt about that.
And of course, John McCain's campaign daily provides us with similar fodder.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cliff is there in Columbus, Ohio, and I breezed, I was about 40 miles away, flying north on I-75 yesterday, and I was thinking about you. And how are you bearing up with gasoline prices dropping to $2.50 a gallon, Cliff? Are you going out to buy an SUV?
Absolutely. I thought I'd get a couple of RVs, actually. Yeah, I mean, I've always tried to resist being a conspiracy theorist, although often in this country it when the shoe fits, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, you know, I'm not an oil specialist by any means. I think I've got a better understanding of basic economics than, let's say, John McCain or Sarah Palin, but I don't know that that's saying much. So
yeah.
How is it that we were looking at $4.50 a gallon here literally 2 months ago,
mm-hmm.
And we're now looking at $2.50? So there's somebody can explain to me in economic terms that would try to make me understand that there's not something going on there where oil companies are gouging all of us because they feel like it and know they can get away with it and know people need their cars in the summer and then say, okay, we can let up now. I mean, what economic forces have made, you know, oil go from, what was it, $140 a barrel
right.
than the $70 a barrel? Can somebody
yeah.
explain that to me? Because I didn't know that happened with goods and services, that their price went in half in 2 months.
Well, but I think even an oil baron can recognize when they're about to asphyxiate the customer base. And rather than have us all just expire, they say, well, you know, let's play with them a little bit. Election's coming up. Might help a Republican. Might help people from the oil patch. So, I've seen this come and go before. And every time they raise prices, they're testing the elasticity of consumer behavior and economies in general. And I think they saw that bungee cord was ready to break.
Yeah, well, I can. That's what I'm saying. I can believe that. I just don't believe that it's anything other than what you're saying right now. They do what they can get away with, and then they cut prices when it becomes appropriate.
Well, they control.
A Republican friend of yours who you've given gazillions of dollars in contributions to get a little bit of good economic news,
yeah.
and everything else is screwing up around you, and you feel like you've been doing it for too long, sticking it to the consumer in a certain place where the sun doesn't shine.
Right.
Then you get to cut it in half, and everybody's happy.
Right.
John McCain's happy. I mean, I'm sorry, I can't be anything other than a conspiracy theorist in this, because to me it seems utterly ridiculous.
Oh, we welcome conspiracy theories here, Cliff. We're not purists about that stuff.
Oh, good.
Cliff Schechter's our guest. He's the author of The Real McCain, and it's a powerful book. And I actually did some sleuthing at Barnes & Noble in suburban Detroit, and you were on display there. You weren't in one of the big display racks in the middle of the floor, but when I went to the political section, they did have your book turned face out, and you were showing fewer pieces of inventory than many of your competitors on the McCain front.
Well, it's good to hear. We did pretty well for a while there. We weren't those middle displays. I don't remember exactly when that stopped happening. But, I hit a bestseller list. We sold a lot, and I think hopefully contributed to the conversation. So, And that was the important thing, is that I feel like, it's amazing to me because about 6 months ago, certainly a year ago, but really even 6 months ago, when I tried to tell people that John McCain wasn't really a reformer,
yep.
He really was a guy that suckled at the you-know-what of lobbyists, and was a guy who, while he was standing up and pretending he was a reformer, was trying to get people in the reform community banished from it and starting this Reform Institute, which was nothing but a place for lobbyists and their clients to dump soft money, and all the other things that he was doing. When I told people he hangs out with white supremacists, he lacks any real principles, he's always done what's best for his political career.
His temper problem and temperament problems?
Yep. But he's got a temper. That's exactly right. I mean, he's got a horrible temper, and that tied to other impulsive type behavior. When things make sense for him, he does them. Like, it made sense to oppose Bush the early part of this decade because he was thinking of running as an independent or switching parties. But then when it makes sense to climb back into bed with those people, he does. I said all that stuff, and I got called all sorts of names, and many elite journalists who've now come to the same conclusions. And said, wow, John McCain's not the guy we thought he was. You know, they needed to watch this whole campaign to see it. And to me, I feel like a lot of my narrative in my book is vindicated.
Yeah.
And that kind of feels good.
Well, Cliff, one of the things I was working on while I was in Ohio, people know I went there for my mother's 85th birthday, but my sister-in-law, Madeline, is a friend of Barbie Wurzelbacher. And the Wurzelbacher name popped up in last Wednesday's presidential debate. That's Joe the Plumber's last name. And Joe isn't his first name, it's his middle name. Sam is his first name.
But he's got to be Joe Sixpack, so you got to call him Joe.
I guess so.
The propaganda doesn't work as well. Sam the Plumber? Come on.
So it turns out we were a little bit of Twitter because once I heard the Wurzelbacher name, Bobby Wurzelbacher was a year behind me in high school in Cincinnati. At the school that featured the Keating swimming pool, the Keating Natatorium?
Right, and there's a certain relationship there now, isn't there?
Well, Bobby married Charlie's daughter, and Bobby did a little hard time, not as much as Charlie, in the Lincoln and Savings and Loan scam and prosecution. And he does live in Cincinnati, still married to the Keating daughter. And we think that Joe is his second cousin.
Right.
So I was hoping for a little tighter connection and a richer irony that of all the people in America that McCain could pluck out to be the new Dickie Flat.
we go back to the BS of one Phil Graham.
Another,
was that Phil Graham or was that Dick Armey?
No, you're right. It was Phil Graham's printer.
Dick Armey had a guy that he made up to and used to pretend was.
No, Phil Graham's printer is named Dickie Flat.
Right.
And he always applied the Dickie Flat test to any kind of taxes or anything that came up.
Right.
So I was hoping that it'd be a first cousin or something even closer so that we could enjoy the rich irony of McCain stumbling on to a Charlie Keating relative who he's using to tweak Obama.
Well, I still think it's somebody, obviously, who's connected to the Keatings. And, again, it's sort of like when we wanted to pretend to ourselves that George Bush Sr. didn't know about the Willie Horton ad, or his wonderful son didn't know about the Swift boating and the other stuff. We can pretend that somehow they weren't behind the whole thing because the guy just happens to be a right-wing Republican who thinks Social Security should be eliminated, much like John McCain, and is related by marriage to Charles Keating, and in addition to all that, isn't actually a registered or licensed plumber. And if he did make the amount of money he claimed he was going to make after tax deductions, he would actually be eligible for a tax cut under Barack Obama's plan, but of course not John McCain's.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially he was standing up and trying to disrupt an event to make Obama look bad at an event, which is what he was doing, and that got caught on YouTube, and the McCain people had to run with it, and once again, didn't think that vetting was important, much like with Sarah Palin, Bill Graham,
yep.
Rick Davis, and the whole rest of this gang of hooligans they hang out with. They thought that somehow the rest of us wouldn't even sit here, and as Bush would put it, use the Google and figure out who it is. They can't do better than that. I mean, they honestly can't find someone not in the same family tree as Charles Keating to put up. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing to me.
Yeah, it really is. Well, we're going to take a break and return, talk about the Colin Powell endorsement. And next hour, we're going to play the clip from Meet the Press so you can hear it. We're going to play that back-to-back with a clip from the Powell speech to the United Nations that led us or helped cinch the deal to go to war with Iraq. If you have a question or a comment about the McCain campaign or the campaign in general, Cliff Schechter's with us this entire hour. We're doubling your fun today. 888-5, Peter B. is our number. Join us and chat about it. 888-573-8372. More straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, my name is Bill Monning. I'm the Democratic nominee in the 27th Assembly District. I want to make sure your voice is being heard in Sacramento and in Washington, D.C. in this historic election. First, we have to make sure that you are registered to vote. Monday is the last day you can register in Monterey County. You must register or re-register if you have changed your address, changed your name, if you are a new U.S. citizen, or if you will be 18 years of age before November the 4th. That's why the Monterey County Democrats have organized a voter registration marathon this weekend through Monday. The Democrats are offering voter registration at more than 20 locations. For a location near you, go to www.montereycountydemocrats.org or call 1-866-MRY-DEMS. That's 1-866-679-3367. And remember, your vote is your voice. Register to vote today. Thank you. Paid for by the Monterey County Democratic Party.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now on southbound 101 just south of Mallory Canyon Road, there is a big rig on fire, so be careful there. Taking a look at Blanco Road at Highway 17, we have a report of a traffic collision with no injuries. A CHP unit is currently on the scene. Moving up to the Hollister-Gilroy area, we have a lot of activity there right now. On the southbound 101 just north of Highway 25, there is a traffic hazard in the merge lane. There is also a traffic collision with no injuries on Union Road at Cienega Road. CHP is on the scene. We also have a fire on southbound 101 just south of Tennant Avenue. Lane number 3 is closed. Lanes 1 and 2 are open and flowing. That's traffic on AM 540. Have a safe commute, and we'll be right back with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Double A.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Aretha. Oh, we're supposed to do a talk show today, not just play great music? All right, Aretha, thank you very much. Cliff Schechter's with me, the author of The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't. And, Cliff, we're seeing some phenomenal polls in the New York Times in the last 2 weeks about the reaction to McCain's negative campaigning. And it's backfiring. And it's really interesting. My focus group in Detroit includes Kathy's 82-year-old mom. And the one thing she says about politics, she says, I hate it when they just blackball each other. She said, I want a candidate to tell me what he stands for and what he's going to do, and I want the other one to do the same. I don't want them attacking each other. And it seems like that's widely replicated in the general population.
Well, my answer would be the thing about that, about negative campaigning that's so insidious, is that if you let the other side just portray you whatever way they will and you don't respond by either defending yourself or pivoting back to hit them on something, then often what will happen is there will be some people who will say, it turns me off, but what you have to worry about, like with the, let's go back to the Willie Horton ad again, is it seeps into people's consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that they look at you more negatively, even though they say they hate negative campaigning.
Yeah.
The thing that's been great over the last, I would say, probably month and a half, 2 months, about the Obama campaign, and I do remember you and I having earlier conversations where we weren't happy with what was going on.
Right.
But what's been so great, and maybe they had this planned all along, where they seem like they've always been on this game plan, is that they have responded. I mean, I think one of the most, and they respond with stuff that is fair. That's the difference,
mm-hmm.
quite frankly, is to bring up, you know, William Ayers, when the Obama basically barely knew the man, and he was sitting on a board that was created by William Annenberg,
mm-hmm.
A Republican who served under Nixon and Reagan, or was a Reagan friend certainly, is ridiculous, obviously, you know. But when they knew that, when the Republicans, like idiots, telegraphed that they were going to come forward and start making hay of Obama's, I'll put in air quotes, association with this man. Kind of like McCain puts health of the mother, in air quotes. What they did is they immediately came out with a 13-minute documentary online called Keating Economics that Monday morning. And, of course, what McCain did with Charlie Keating and the way that he enabled Keating to defraud investors, to lose people's life savings, to make the taxpayers spend billions in bailing him out, is very similar to what the current crisis we're in. It was deregulation of these banks, and McCain fought for it then, acted inappropriately then, fights for it now, acts inappropriately with his lobbyists now. So there's mm-hmm. a connection. And so it was a great way to hit back. There's no doubt the McCain people have been much more sinister. I mean, you know, Obama's never lowered himself to the point of saying ridiculous things about, like, palling around with terrorists and mm-hmm. stuff like that. He's just pointed out that McCain's economic record is an absolute failure. It mirrors Bush's. It goes further back than Bush's to the age of Charlie Keating. And so it's been, to me, they've done a very good job in recent months doing that. And I think that's what's been so important. So they've also pointed out that John McCain has been the one who's always hit first and been on the attack.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it does is, and then the difference is that Barack Obama can respond with a smile. John McCain attacks with a snarl and then rolls his eyes and sneers.
Yeah.
And you kind of sense in a moment that if he's not held down, he might suddenly sprout wings, fly across the stage and bite Obama's neck.
Well, and Cliff, one of the most striking comments from Colin Powell in his interview on Meet the Press was when he went out of his way to talk about the smears, you know, that suggest that Obama is a Muslim. And he did it, you know, in the way that Obama should have, really, which is to say, number one, there's nothing wrong with being an American Muslim. But number two, it simply isn't true.
Right. It's not true. And it's as important as it's not true. Why, you know, what if he were? You know what I mean? Oh,
mm-hmm.
my God, that's become, I mean, the different level of the media and others, and just people in general have treated this. We've acted in a way where it's frankly acceptable to be racist against Muslims and against Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you may remember that town hall where that woman said that Obama was an Arab. And McCain's response to that was, no, he's not. He's a good family man.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that saying? So Arabs, I mean, what you should say is, no, he's not, but if he were, you know, what's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Arabs can't be good. What, can you imagine if you inserted the word sort of Arab-Jewish or you know, well, black, or anything, and you know, a number, a variety of other things. And she said that so openly that, you know, well, no, I mean, he can't, you know, he's not Jewish. He's a good family man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there would be outrage.
Yeah.
And so I really think that, and I'm one, again, who, like many others, will never forgive Colin Powell for what he did in front of the UN. But I think at least if you want to go a short way towards making up some of what he did and getting some sort of redemption, I think not just the endorsement of Obama, but the way he did it the other day.
Well, I do believe in forgiveness and redemption, and I'm going to ask my listeners next hour if they're ready to forgive Colin Powell for that UN offense. And I think it's going to be mixed. I'll be curious to see what people have to say. We'll talk more about the Powell announcement and also about the $150 million the Obama campaign raised in September and the sour grapes response from John McCain, Mr. Clean Campaign Money. And we'll also talk about Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live and a few other things as we continue. You can join me and Cliff Schechter this hour talking about the campaign. 888-5-PETER-B is our number, 888-573-8370. And share a podcast of this program with a friend of yours. Our podcast audience is growing all around the world. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Is spreading wealth a sin? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Colin Powell's endorsement of Barack Obama has now led to a huge disendorsement of Colin Powell by conservatives on blog after blog. Here's one. Quote, it's pretty clear either Colin Powell is a closet socialist or et cetera, et cetera. What about the socialism charges going around? Well, what gave it legs is the famous plumber encounter.
Everybody's so pinched that business is bad for everybody. And I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody.
Barack Obama suggesting that a tax policy that, quote, spreads the wealth around is good for everybody. The phrase spread the wealth has now been picked up as evidence of socialism. Now, maybe Obama is a closet socialist, I don't know. But since when did the phrase spread the wealth become so threatening? That's what governments are about. In fact, some states aren't called states, they're called a commonwealth. The tax system spreads the wealth. Even capitalism is about spreading the wealth. A rising tide lifts all boats, remember that? But Dave, I thought capitalism was about concentrating the wealth. Well, yes, but a capitalist also needs customers, doesn't he? Suppose oil was discovered in your backyard, okay? Are you rich? No. You're only rich if enough people have the money to buy your oil. Otherwise, all you have is a slippery backyard. If your potential customers don't have money because the government raised their taxes to give rich plumbers who already have money a tax break, well, I suppose you could extend them a lot of unsecured credit, but I think we tried that. Now this.
I'm Maria. I own Maria's Hair and Beauty Salon. Last year, I was neck deep in invoices and receipts, so my friend suggested Intuit QuickBooks. I'm usually not that good with computer software, but she said I could try it online for free. So I did. And QuickBooks is great. So easy to use. Saves me hours tracking expenses. Now I can spend more time convincing my customers not to get that new style that only looks good on supermodels and poodles.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Baby, quite continental.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's a beautiful day in Peter B.'s America. We're talking with Cliff Schechter and you about the campaign.
Heart is a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room. No space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. And you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return.
And it's always good news when you hear that progressive media is picking up steam. I just got word from Katrina during the break that the first month's ratings are in for the new Rachel Maddow show on MSNBC. She, of course, has a daily radio show on Air America, too. And she's doubled the audience from more than doubled. 800,000 was the audience before she took over right after Labor Day. And her weeknight hour is now rated at 1.7 million viewers. O'Reilly is still the king of the cable chat shows on the nighttime schedule at about 2.2 million average. So that is really impressive, and Chris Matthews is probably considering his retirement. Cliff Schechter's with us here. Cliff, what do you think about that?
I think it's great, and I think it's been a long time coming. You know, Rachel obviously is very talented, and I'm glad people recognized that there and gave her a show. But we know that there are a lot of other talented progressives out there, too. The problem in the past has been that the media has been operating under this sort of maxim that only conservatives and more nonpartisan people are allowed on cable.
Mm-hmm.
Fox, obviously, is part of it that distorted that, but part of it's just, you know, that these people don't seem to ever be able to look into history. It's kind of like the folks that are out there now saying this is a center-right conservative country and already warning Obama as if, you know, somehow they've never read a history book from between the 1930s and the 1970s when Republicans were to the left of where Democrats are right now,
mm-hmm.
or many were, anyhow,
yeah.
on economic issues. I mean, when Nixon created the EPA, you know, and put in price controls and, you know, other things like that, somehow they don't remember that, these kinds of things, but... And it's affected culture, and they didn't think, and certainly Keith Olbermann has gotten a very good audience. Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, who obviously are comedians, but hew more to the left than the right.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Maher, another one. And so it's really nice that there are actual voices on there to give sanity, because, you know, 10 years ago you'd turn on some of these cable stations and you'd sit there and say, I mean, really? You know, I mean, am I actually going to believe what Tucker Carlson has to say?
Well, you just said sanity, and it rhymes with Hannity, and I heard Sean Boy on the radio for a minute last week.
Did you vomit uncontrollably?
No, I laughed, because he is already adjusting to the projected outcome. He said, the Sean Hannity program, your headquarters, win, lose, or draw.
I'd love to see his face off camera. The night of the election, watch him crying in his beer.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Although, the truth is that I don't think he really believes in anything but himself, so I'm sure he'll be that he can spend another 4 years maybe trying to get people to find a way to impeach Obama.
Well, and Glenn Beck's coming over for reinforcements. He'll be joining Fox News. He's coming home next year.
Yeah, I saw that he was going there. That I found that to be funny, considering his ratings have been on TV have been non-existent. And did you see who else was joining Fox?
Tell me.
Let me give you a guess.
Uh-huh.
Fabricated stories about WMDs in the New York Times.
Bill Kristol?
Very close. Judy Miller.
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
Because you wouldn't want Judy Miller to actually, you know, leave the media profession so she can't just make stuff up anymore that
Paul
Wolfowitz, you know, whispers into her ear. So, of course, Fox seems to have no problem with the fact that that Judy Miller is a proven liar and probably is as responsible as anybody else in the media, certainly, and probably as responsible as some policymakers for getting us into this unbelievable disaster in Iraq, but hey, what the heck?
Well, you broke that one to me, Cliff, and that's a new low for the Fox Snooze channel.
Yes, it is. Who knows who they'll be giving a show to next.
Yeah. Cliff Schechter with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you want to chat with us about the presidential campaign. 888-5-PETER-B. Now, Cliff, on Sunday, the Obama campaign had two missiles that were firing. One was the endorsement from General Powell, and the other was the announcement of the $150 million raised in the month of September. And this produced a sour grapes response from John McCain-Feingold, who once again discovered his commitment to cleaning up the electoral process and took us all the way back to Watergate in his comments and said that, you know, inevitably, because Obama has raised so much money from so many different people, with an average in September of $86 per person, that he, of course, is sitting on a scandal that's going to explode, and John McCain is going to have to help lead the charge to clean it up after this is all over.
Right. Where do we start with all this? Let's see. John McCain, the guy that in the past wanted to pass a law banning lobbyists from working on campaigns, but now actively has 150 involved in his in some sort of way. That's okay. That's not a danger to the system to have people lobbying for, let's say, people who lobby for Mobutu Sese Seko, or
the Republic of Georgia.
Yeah, the Republic of dictators from the Ukraine, or big oil interests, or Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac as recently as a month ago. None of that's dangerous. That's all good for democracy. What will be bad is that Obama has tapped a donor base out there of people that actually want to take their country back from people like John McCain and the people he hangs out with at one of the cocktail parties at one of his 4,700 houses. And and there is, and as you said, the average is $86. That's the danger. I mean, there's the irony, the gall that this man has. I wonder if he really does still believe he has any honor in his head. I mean, this is a guy that took his name off of campaign finance bills as of 2 years ago when he started gearing up to run for this campaign, completely distanced himself from everything he formerly did on campaign finance reform, thought him, you know, during the primaries, went outside of the public spending financing system. So, you know, he's done, you know, he went back and forth. Was he going to do it? Was he not going to do it? I mean, he's always done what's good for him. He couldn't give a damn about reform. It was a useful thing for him when it went, you know, to build that profile and get a lot of nice media coverage. But the truth is that on so many issues in so many ways, he's moved away when it fit him. And now it serves him to go back and be the great reformer again. It's amazing, this guy.
Yeah, it really is. And one of the rumors we're hearing, Cliff, is that Rick Davis is now suggesting that things are so dire, so desperate, that they've got to pull out the Reverend Wright card and play it big time.
I was just reading that now, and then you know why. Did you see why? It's because of what John Lewis had to say about them.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Because everything is always Obama's fault, or somebody, you know, or let's be honest, in their world, somebody who's African American's fault. It was Obama's fault that he wouldn't have all these town hall meetings with McCain whenever McCain felt that he wanted to have one,
right,
which would have caused us to all get a lot more sleep as we watched McCain wander the stage aimlessly.
But Cliff, this is another case where I do second guess Obama in his debate performance, because McCain had to really ask him twice to respond to Congressman Lewis's remarks, and he should have done it the first time and said, "I'm so proud to have his support," And, you know, he offers us a rich context that goes back before I was even born about the civil rights struggle in this country.
A guy that literally bled for his country. Was beaten over the head.
And to compare the mob scenes at Palin and McCain rallies, fueled by all of the smears that they've done either above ground or underground on the web and through, you know, right-wing talk radio, I think what John Lewis said is completely defensible. And that, you know, McCain's crocodile tears over that should have been directly challenged much more forcefully by Obama.
I agree with you on that. But what I understand here is, again, they're playing a race game. John Lewis is the excuse.
Yeah.
The attacks have already come from Rush Limbaugh and George Will that Colin Powell only endorsed Obama because they're both black. What does all this stuff have in common? What are the attacks on Acorn to bring the lower income people in and so that they can vote? What does that have in common? What is the fact that McCain is using the word welfare to describe Barack Obama's tax plan to give tax cuts to people that may not pay income taxes but pay huge amounts of other taxes, like a ridiculous payroll tax?
Yeah, and this
progressive.
Yeah, the socialism idea after the Wall Street bailout for capitalists who required a little socialism.
Right.
It's pretty
that's
rich.
Part of it too, but I cannot believe that when you combine John Lewis, Colin Powell, the word welfare, the tax on Acorn, that they're race baiting, and there's other examples too I'm just not thinking of right now.
Although
using Reince's picture in an ad, you know, there are ways they could have attacked Obama on Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae contributions he's taken from them. But they didn't. They put a guy in a commercial with him who happened to have a black face who, of course, barely has ever spoken to Obama.
And there's a new assault regarding the food stamp with Obama's depiction on it. We'll get to that in a minute. But Gail's calling from Coos Bay, listening on the mighty KBBR. Hi, Gail.
Hi, Peter. I'm a first-time caller calling from Coos Bay, Oregon.
Well, welcome.
Thank you for my call.
We're delighted to hear from you. And Gail, since you're a first-time caller, I will gently just rebuff you on one thing. It is not necessary to thank Mr. Collins for taking your call.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind.
All right.
The next caller, if I call again. Well,
yeah.
Couple of things. I wanted to encourage people, like I have myself, that if they have, you were talking about a lot of with your prior callers, and on the Obama website, they have a tax calculator program, so that if people are, you know, concerned about what taxes they might be paying under the Obama plan, they can figure that out on the Obama website, one thing. And then the other thing that I wanted to encourage people to do, and I'm doing in my own neighborhood, in fact, I'm getting ready to do it now, and that is to go out and canvass and do door-to-door talking with people about whether or not, you know, who they're going to support and you know, go over, you know, one-on-one with in our local neighborhoods. And I just wanted to encourage people, and I know, unfortunately, it would mean that they would have to turn off your show like I'm going to right now, but you would be doing a good cause. And anyways, I love your show.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to just make that comment about getting out and to get people to get out to vote.
Well, and Gail, you can always turn off the show for a higher purpose. If you turn it off to listen to a right-wing ranter, I worry about you. But
okay. All right. And then the last thing I wanted to say is that for anybody that has mail-in voting, it costs 59 cents to mail your ballot in, not 42 cents. So just in case people do not know that, I wanted to make that little announcement.
And Oregon is the vote-by-mail state, so keep that in mind. And what happens if you underpostage it? Do they return it to you?
Supposedly they do. I went to my post office because I had put a 42-cent stamp on my own ballot today because it came in the mail today. And I went back to my post office, and since I live in such a small town, they were able to get my envelope and let me put another stamp on it after I verified my name and address. So,
yeah, in the big city,
they
don't let you fish a letter out once you drop it. So I'm glad you did that. Well, that's an excellent tip, and I really appreciate that.
Well, okay, listen, I'm sure someday I'll call you back again. I must say I'm a little bit nervous.
Thank you for making the call.
All right. Well, you have a great day.
You bet, Gail.
We're all nervous when we talk to Peter B. Collins, after all. You're talking with a very illustrious man.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. We're going to take a break and return. We'll talk about that, the origins of the Obama Bucks food stamp thing. And also John McCain's health report. New York Times had an extensive piece about it in the paper here on Monday. And you can join us, too. First-time callers are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B. That's my number, 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on the North Main Street on-ramp to northbound 101, we have a traffic hazard. A CHP cruiser is on the way. On southbound 101, just south of Tinnett Avenue, we have a vehicle on fire. All lanes are now back open and flowing. And now for your forecast on the Central Coast. Tonight is mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows are around 50 degrees. Northwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tuesday will be partly cloudy in the morning, then becoming sunny. Highs in the 70s.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I'm asking for your vote to be your next mayor of Marina. I was on city council from 2000 to 2004, and when I ran for mayor in 2004, I barely lost by 69 votes. With your support, we can win this time and finally have a mayor that lives and breathes working class values. My opponent goes on cruises with developers and big business interests who have financial involvement with large four-door developments, and this is too cozy to ensure citizens like you that your priorities come first during city negotiations with big business. Good-paying jobs, affordable housing, and downtown revitalization will help working-class families and seniors on fixed incomes. This is why labor unions are endorsing me and why Jane Parker, supervisor-elect for the 4th District, supports me and Marina's campaign for change. I ask for your vote by mail or on November 4th. Let's do this together. Thank you. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I approve this message.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, a licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, asthma, allergies, headache, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been used for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the underlying causes of disease in your body? I offer acupuncture, Chinese medical massage, and have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and I accept insurance. Call me, Glenn Sadowski, at 655-3208. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, create healthy lifestyles, and make informed decisions regarding their wellness. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 and on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Mention KRXA to receive a 25% discount. Think for yourself and think for your health.
The Peter B. Collins Show, the Free Speed Zone, coming up next hour. We'll take your phone calls after we listen to Colin Powell's endorsement of Barack Obama and ask the question, are you ready to forgive him for his speech at the United Nations in February of 2003? We continue now with Cliff Schechter, author of The Real McCain, the book with the subtitle, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Independents Shouldn't. And it's still out there in softcover because I found it in a bookstore just the other day. And, Cliff, I wanted to jump next to John McCain's health. You and I have talked about this before. Your friend and colleague Robert Greenwald has produced a powerful video over at BraveNewFilms.org raising questions about McCain's health and the partial disclosure. And the Times did an extensive piece, and to avoid appearing in the tank for Obama, they had to cover all four candidates. And
right.
In sum, Obama has a one-page statement from his doctor that he has no health problems, and in the article they simply raise questions about whether his smoking might make him at risk for lung cancer. There is zero known about Sarah Palin except that she allegedly gave birth this past April to her youngest child. They go into depth about Joe Biden's medical history, a couple of aneurysms, and the longest piece is about McCain. And it's written by a medical doctor named Lawrence Altman, and there is real tension, clear in the fine print here, between the New York Times and the McCain campaign, because they say, well, we disclosed over 1,200 pages of Senator McCain's medical history to Dr. Altman's colleagues, and of course, that was in a closed room for 2 or 3 hours.
Right.
And they weren't
photocopy anything. There weren't any page numbers in the pages, so you didn't know if things were missing.
Right.
And all they could do was take notes on whatever the heck they could find in 2 to 3 hours.
But it was an unprecedented level of disclosure, according to a spokesperson from the campaign. And Dr. Altman can look at the public document on our website if he wishes to do so. It was certainly more significant than the one-page doctor's note Obama released, though I have little hope the Times will report it that way.
Yeah, well, listen, the McCain people, ever since they reported that story on Vicki Eisman, have basically declared war on the New York Times, and they've said it's not a journalistic organization. That's been the sort of tip of the spear, so to speak, in their war on the media and this whole, you know, bogus claim about the media being liberal and in the tank for Obama,
mm-hmm.
blah 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 blah. And so, of course, for the New York Times to report the fact that Sarah Palin has not given any medical records. But more importantly, John McCain allowed people to look at it for a couple hours, as we pointed out, with no page numbers, in this secluded space, only the doctors, only the people they chose to allow,
mm-hmm.
No photocopying and the rest of it. And this is a guy that's had, what, 3, 4 melanomas?
4.
That pretty serious stuff. He's 72. He was in a prison of war camp and tortured for 5.5 years. These are important factors, and
mm-hmm.
They become that much more important when you pick Sarah Palin, who everybody from Colin Powell to a variety of newspapers that have never endorsed a Democrat before, like the Chicago Tribune, who endorsed Obama, they have all mentioned this.
And it's the elders. This is my focus group. I can't cite a poll on this, but when I talk to older people, they are most outraged about the Palin appointment, given McCain's age and health. And
right.
That's really interesting, because that could produce some anomalies in Republican turnout this November. They rely heavily